Back in on the drive, the pop quiz is presented by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. The winner won a pair of tickets to the Hall of Fame Classic to watch Nebraska, USC, Missouri State, and Texas Tech in the Hall of Fame Classic. Today's pop quiz was Asteroids. It was released today in 1979. We are very
love that game. Happy
to be. That was like Fortnite back in your day,
dude,
wasn't it?
I loved it, man. When we go to the bowling alley, man, my mom was in a bowling league. Give me a stack of quarters, man. I'm going to go play Asteroids. Mm-hmm. And Galaga, little Space Invaders. Come on, man.
I'm very happy to be joined by our next guest. It is a Monday morning linebacker. The text line still gets on us about calling it Monday morning linebacker, even though it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah, but that's neither here nor there. It's Sean Barber, Joe Mays, brought to you by The Other Place. How you guys doing today?
Man, it's Monday morning someplace. You know what I'm saying?
Like, Hawaii, maybe.
It's like that 5 o'clock rule for having a drink after work. It's 5 o'clock someplace, you know, at multiple times during the day. Yeah, so
it's Monday.
Always good to be here. Always glad to be on the show with you. One of the brightest points of the week is chopping it up with the Monday morning quarterback, my man Joe Mays.
Hey, man, it's good to be back. I missed last week. I was devastated about it, of course. You know, I had to travel out of town to do some things.
You doing better now? You good?
Hey, man, I'm solid.
I mean, you were devastated, so I'm just checking on your emotional stability.
Well, yeah, you know what? I'm in front of you guys right now. I get a chance to enjoy myself for another hour or so, man. So I'm looking forward to it.
What I really love about our group chat that we have, so it's all of us in our group chat, Inspector. Is Sean basically writes like thesis papers.
He does.
It's not like quick points like, hey, how you guys doing? It's like he'll send you a whole chapter from a Bible to motivate you, so you got to read it to go start your day.
That's
so
right.
You give us keys to the game. It's not just like the play good defense. You go long into what they need to do to win the game. I summarized it for you, but I can read you the full unedited version if you want, the Sean Barber tools to get ready for the game.
How much time we got?
It might take really this whole hour, I think, to get ready for it.
Oh, wait. But don't forget that the prediction is hashtag salute to service. That was the prediction for all of it.
You know what? See, Joe got it. All the details. You get bogged down by the details. The most important part of the whole thing was we appreciate our military, a salute to service. Joe got it. He said, hey, don't get bogged down by the details. Because the keys to victory are very important. That's the only way the Chiefs can win tonight is to stick by my keys.
That's the only way.
The only way,
yeah.
I mean, he pretty much.
I'm not saying that salute to service isn't important. I'm saying is out of your five tips for the game, three of them involve stopping Todd Gurley. So that was really the core of the message.
Yeah, I mean,
salute to service was an important one.
You put
multiple times, stop Todd Gurley. Here's what you put. Stop Todd Gurley. Make Rams offense one-dimensional. Chiefs should play a lot of tight end zone coverage. Reroute wide receivers to throw off time and control the QB scrambling with pass rush. Line discipline by the front floor. Bring a delayed blitz to disrupt the play-action passes. And a few QB hits will change their play calling. There's like another 1,000 characters when it comes to your game, but that was your biggest key in this game.
And actually, I can envision Joe on a delayed blitz. You know, when I talk about that delayed blitz by linebacker, I'm thinking I'm doing like a little play action to Gurley, trying to sneak him out into the flats, and the linebacker just ignoring it, just coming like I'm coming at Gurley, and just keep on going to golf, and just pull a Joe Mays on him.
Yeah.
And then they ain't going to call that play no more.
Kind of like DJ did to Marcus Mariota the
100%.
Playoffs.
That's exactly. 100%.
Hopefully it doesn't go like that. But
hopefully you get the call.
As long as the result is that way, then they won't call that play no more.
Kind of like Joe did a Matt Schaub.
Yeah.
Like that?
I mean,
I love bringing that hit up, man.
I mean, you know what? I enjoyed that hit. You know, it was just one of them things where I'm just trying to play ball as fast as I can. And I got to him. I had a good lick on him. And it is what it is. But – in this situation where you talk about this delayed blitz, I'm a huge fan on it. I mean, if you get there, you get a sack, which is perfect because now they lose a down and they lose yards. If you get there just in time for him to throw that ball off, you still catch him in a vulnerable position.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks remember those hits. So you do this in the second quarter, fourth quarter come around, you're getting pressure on him. He remember those hits. He's going to throw the ball away. He's going to give the ball up for grabs when that happens, and, you know, it's pretty much in our favor.
Let me ask you this then. I don't see, like, Reggie Ragland or Anthony Hitchens being that guy. Is it Dirty Dan? Is he the guy you send on the delayed blitz?
Hey, man, you send whoever going to get there. You send whoever has man-to-man against the running back. You kind of look out to your flat defender and say, hey, man, you give him that wink, that little head. Just say, hey, man, if he come out to the flat, I ain't taking him. I'm going to eat, and you take them for me, and then you just take that beeline to the QB. Let him throw it. Don't throw it. Don't even worry about it. Just make sure you get a hit on that quarterback.
Hey, I'm sending O'Daniel, man. You know, I'm letting Dan the man stay in coverage, and I'm sending O'Daniel.
You're sending the dirty one?
Oh yeah, got to.
Yeah,
got to. I mean, it's you know, no offense to anybody else out there, but I'm all about the linebackers. Period.
He talking about DOD.
Yeah, DOD. Dorian. I'm talking about sending DOD.
Oh, Dorian.
Yes.
Okay, not
Dorian
Dirty
O'Daniel.
Dan.
No. You know what? Dirty Dan just got back. Let him get his feet wet. Let him cover somebody.
I didn't think Hitchens and Ragland might be able to get there quick enough. I'm trying to think, like, maybe a safety guy's got a little more wheels. Dorian O'Daniel fits that mold.
Yes, he does. He has the wheels, and he's a linebacker. So, and I've been pulling for him ever since the beginning of the season. I wanted to see what he was going to do, and he's been showing himself lately.
Yeah, you look amazed. You're sitting there looking like.
I know. I was getting ready for our first disagreement of the day. I got to mentally get ready for you to tell me I don't watch the NFL. I don't think the Chiefs can stop Todd Gurley in this game. I don't think that's realistic. I don't think the Chiefs should be going in there. I don't think when they're sitting down having their defensive meetings, the plan needs to be we need to stop Todd Gurley because that is going to be a losing battle. He is at least at a minimum going to have 100 total yards in this game. A minimum. I would probably say 150. In this game, I don't think this defense is equipped to stop Todd Gurley. So I bring that up to ask you guys, because I'm sure you played against great running backs in your day. What is it like to go up against a player and you know your defense is not equipped to stop that player?
Again, you don't watch enough football. Let's start there.
Because, there we go.
Because really, we could care less about the total yardage Gurley gets. It's about keeping him out the end zone. We don't care if he has 170 yards rushing as long as he don't score no touchdowns. Keeping them out the end zone. That's the whole purpose of playing defense.
Sean, real quick, it's about keeping them out the end zone?
Out.
I just wanted to make sure I heard that correctly.
From crossing the goal line.
Yes.
All right? They can have as much. You can have all the yards
you want.
What
about 225 yards? Can you have
those? I give it to them. No touchdown?
Yeah.
Take it.
Okay.
I'll take the 225 and no touchdowns rather than 50 yards and 3 touchdowns. What is wrong with y'all?
Yeah, I mean.
I'm not saying you want the 3 yards, but I'm thinking in this game of controlling tempo, controlling pace, and let's not make it seem like Gurley can't get a 60-yard run. The next play, they run a bootleg play, and then Goff just throws a touchdown pass to Robert Woods. That Gurley didn't score the touchdown, but Gurley was the biggest reason why you scored a touchdown on that drive. That's possible too, Sean. I watch the NFL. It happens every week.
He's kind of got you there, man.
No, he don't.
He's got you a little bit.
No, he don't.
Uh-uh. Nope.
Scores. No scores. Keep Gurley off the score chart, off the scoreboard. No scores by Gurley, and we win the game.
Man, I think it's gonna just as important as it is to stop Gurley, it's just as important to get pressure on Goff. Because if Gurley's not running the ball right, they're gonna throw the ball, and Goff has proven himself to be one of the best quarterbacks in the league this year. So, you know, if you can, I wouldn't say stop Gurley because he's gonna get his yards. Everybody knows that. If you can slow him down just a tad bit, he may get his yards, but keep him out of the end zone. Like my man Sean's saying, it's pretty simple. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, whoever has the most points is gonna win the game. And if you keep these guys out of the end zone, I think we're looking pretty good.
Let me throw this at you, and it's going to be a baseball thing, so just follow me on this.
Oh, Lord.
But just like Greg Maddux said this one time. He said Barry Bonds was the easiest guy to pitch to in baseball. And people are like, what are you talking about? He goes, because I just walked him every time. I mean, is it kind of like that? Just concede the fact that Gurley's going to get his, just keep him out of the end zone. In other words, like with Bonds, I'll walk him so it ain't a home run. Is that kind of what we're saying here?
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess as a defense coordinator, you don't want to admit that. I mean, you don't want to, like, tell your players and everything, hey, man, like, you know, like, chances are this guy's going to get 130, 140 yards rushing, so let's just keep him out the end zone.
But I think it's kind of a pro way to look at it. Like, listen, I'm not going to let the guy take me deep. And if that's – I mean, I think – now, you think, like, from an alpha standpoint, man, he's not going to run. Well, no, he's going to get his. Now, if you want to be smart, you want to win the game, let him get his. We'll shut down Woods. We'll shut down Brandon Cooks and do it that way.
Yeah, I mean – The thing is, it's all about numbers, man. So when it comes to Todd Gurley, in order to stop Todd Gurley, you got to have 8 in the box. The Chiefs won't be able to do that because now they got to be able to cover those 3 receivers that's on the outside. Mm-hmm. And those guys are really making it happen when it comes in the passing game. So, I mean, at the end of the day, when you hear about these defenses being bend but don't break defenses, that means you can give up as many yards as you can give up, period. But you can't give up that many points. Try to keep them out of the end zone. Try to keep them to kicking field goals. Give up the yardage, and at the end of the day, we can live with that, and we can live with a W, too.
To kind of go with what Brad's saying, to me, it's a little bit of an NBA comparison, I guess, to kind of make all the cross-board comparisons here is, I would say with Gurley, you know he's going to have a good day. Like, you're not going into the game thinking, man, you know what we can do with LeBron? We can hold LeBron to 15 points. You're not holding LeBron to 15 points. That's not realistic. Right. I just look at the Chiefs' run defense, and what I've seen them do is, I think you can stop Gurley from having a monster day that kills you, you know, 182 touchdowns, those kind of days. But just how many times they're going to give him the football, how many times in space they're going to give him the ball, and just knowing your defense's deficiencies, I just don't know if it's realistic to think that Ty Gurley is going to play poorly in this game, given what I've seen from the Chiefs' run defense so far this season.
I mean, look, we're only sitting here talking about Gurley because he is one of the best backs in the league, but we're not even really putting the big emphasis on the entire picture, which is their offense. Their offense is one of the best offenses in the NFL. I mean, whether it's Gurley, whether it's Robert Woods, I mean, Goff is pretty much at the head of that, and he's making sure that's running as smoothly as possible. So, I mean, you know, we're just talking about trying to hold one person out of the entire offense. But when really, I mean, we should be paying attention across the board because they have weapons all over the place.
The other two keys to Sean Barber are for Sean Barber when it comes to this game, we'll get to on the other side. One was make Jared Goff beat you with his arm. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see what you think about that. And ID Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh. Aaron Donald is the best defensive player in the NFL. We'll get to the other keys to the game from Sean Barber coming up. It is our Monday morning linebacker brought to you by The Other Place. We are live at Winning Streaks inside Harris Casino. You're listening to 610 Sports Radio.
I'm taking the Chiefs, and, you know, I don't even play fantasy football, but I'm about to get me a fantasy team. I just picked up Tyreek Hill to go against Marcus Peters. I'm going to win.
Hey, Marcus, he talking about you, man.
Oh, yeah,
I believe in Marcus Peters.
I believe in him.
I don't
I believe
feel
he'll
like
give up
he's going to let us down. That's not right.
Back in on the drive, it is the Monday Morning Linebacker. Is brought to you by The Other Place. To take you guys behind the scenes, we're here at Winning Streaks. Sean Barber is maybe the first recorded human being to have lemonade in one cup and then iced tea in another cup, and instead of mixing them for a drink, he is drinking them from two separate glasses with two separate straws.
I'll tweet it at Brad Fanning Show so you can
I
see
like
this.
My Arnold Palmer to be organic. Organic.
I don't think that's an Arnold Palmer, though, man. You got to have, like, lemonade and then iced tea.
Yeah, and then
– that's like pink. It's like pink lemonade.
And then I don't think it's iced tea.
About?
I think that's sweet tea,
yeah,
which is
different.
A completely different
– That's the Donald Palmer. That's what we'll call that one.
The Sean Palmer.
That's what we'll call that one. It is the Monday Morning Linebacker. It is brought to you by The Other Place. Your other two keys for the game, Sean, were number one was stop Todd Gurley. We talked about that. Number two was make Jared Goff beat you with his arm. You like that matchup of Jared Goff and those wide receivers going up against the Chiefs secondary?
Yeah, when you put in the fact of the tight coverage, you know, I think you didn't specify my tight coverage.
I want
our defenders to not play the loose man or the loose zones. I want them tight. I want reroutes on the wide receivers to throw off the timing. And I think that, you know, with that, if you don't if you make Jared Goff throwing the tight windows, I think you'll see that he's not as accurate as most people think. I think when you look at their offense, you see that play-action pass going. They have wide receivers running, like, wide open, no one even around them. Anybody can hit a receiver open that way. But when you – tight man coverage and stuff, I see a little fraction in the Superman. I see I'm sounding like Coach Miles.
Less
right
Miles.
Now.
I wasn't gonna bring that up. I'm happy you brought that up.
I got it together.
Things. I'm happy
Kryptonite.
You brought it up.
That's the kryptonite.
I was gonna help you out.
That's the kryptonite.
I was gonna help you out, Sean, but I kind of like seeing you struggle. I'm
I
not
know,
gonna
man.
Lie,
that's
man.
Be, that's sad. We're supposed to be on the same team.
That's true. We are. Yeah, but we're not.
We're not.
Yeah.
I didn't think he was really struggling. I thought he was really just trying to pay homage to Coach Les Miles. Hey, that's all I thought. But yeah, I think. With what Sean is saying, I think it's all about disrupting the timing. Because now, if you're disrupting their timing, if you're knocking these receivers around, if you're getting them off, if you're getting Jared Goff off his spot, then now you have the opportunity to get more pressure on the quarterback and force more bad throws, which is what we were talking about a little bit earlier. So, man, you know what? It's just going to be a hell of a game, man. I mean, it's two tough teams, two tough offensive teams going up against each other.
Let me ask you guys this as former linebackers. I saw this earlier today in an ESPN piece that I was reading. Almost half of the offensive plays that they run come off a play action or a screen. How does that screw with the defense?
You know, it shouldn't screw with the defense too much because
you guys
linebackers
stay-
can see. Yeah, I mean, they do that to keep you honest. But as linebackers, our keys are – we see everything that's happening. So if we can see the flow of the ball, if we can see the linemen pop up instead of coming off as run blockers, we should be able to notice that. The thing is, those back-end guys typically, you know, it's a gray area for them because now that they're trying to react to the run, trying to come up and make a play, and then that's where the bombs come in. That's where you get the guys one-on-one.
You're talking like Parker Murray.
Yeah. So it's going to be key for those guys to really see what's going on. And I'm sure, you know, Eric Berry got them guys coached up. I mean, he's in there watching film along with them and telling them what they should be keying. But it's going to be up to them to go out there and really focus on their keys and really, you know, be able to determine what's going on.
Sean, last thing you had here is one of your keys in the game is to ID Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh. We've been asking this toss-up question. I'll ask you guys this. We didn't get a chance to ask both of you last week. What's the bigger advantage for the Rams? Is it Aaron Donald against the Chiefs' interior offensive line, or is it Todd Gurley against the Chiefs' run defense?
I think it's Aaron Donald, man. I think Donald's one of the best defensive players in the league right now. It's probably, and has been for the last few years. To be an interior guy and be that high in the sacks, he's always being double teamed. He's splitting them. He's kind of like a man amongst boys when he's doing against, you know, guys, first team guards and centers. Now we have our backups in there. They have some guys that, you know, was allowing some penetration last week. So he smells a little bit of blood in the water. Probably he's gonna. I mean, I see him trying to penetrate early and often, and then he got his little buddy, his running mate Sue.
He's a little buddy.
Man, the enforcer, man, that's just, you know, the enforcer going to come in there slapping folks around and stuff like that. It's just those are two grown men to deal with. And I don't think even when it's 3-on-2, I don't think that's a fair fight. I think those guys got the advantage every snap. And we got to find ways to either get them tired, get them to take plays off. Once they're out the ball game, we should be on the ball, no huddle for the rest of that series. Anytime them two leave the game, Aaron Donald leaves the game, go no huddle for the rest of that series just to keep him off the field.
So screen plays and stuff like that, is that what you do? I mean, to get those big boys running sideways?
Yeah, I mean, you just –
Is that part of it? I mean, let's not forget here. You know, I'm looking at numbers, right? I'm not as much of a stat guy as CDOT is, but the Chiefs get up 5.1 per rush. The Rams are worse against the run. They give up 5.2 per rush. So let's not – even though Aaron Donald's like the best defensive player out there, let's not forget that they don't stop the run very well either.
No, they don't. It's pretty much – you're seeing two mirrored teams. Two teams that is really explosive on offense, and then they tend to struggle a little bit on defense. They have these bend but don't break type of defenses, which, you know, it makes for a greater game because there's really no – you can't really give anybody the edge. I mean, well, of course, we're going to get a Chiefs the edge because that's who we're rooting for. But when you sit back and you're rooting from just you know, you being Switzerland and not really being on either part, I mean, both teams are pretty much similar. You got two high-power offenses, two quarterbacks that can throw the ball down the field. You have receivers all over the place. You have Todd Gurley, which is one of the best backs in the league. I mean, it's just – so everything that we're saying about the Rams, we definitely got to say about our hometown Chiefs because I agree with Sean when it comes to stopping Aaron Donald, too. You know, he is a disruptive force, and he's showing that time and time again, year in, year out. And if you get some hands on him and make sure you kind of slow him down, you may be able to get some yards down the field and some points on the board.
I've had this theory all week, and I'll run it by you guys. I don't think it's realistic to limit yards in 2018. Like, Jared Goff's going to throw for 300 yards. Mahomes is going to throw for 300 yards. That's just offense in 2018. I think the goal is, if you're Bob Sutton, if you're a leader on that defense, you got to look everybody in the eye and say, all we need to do is just get three stops. If we get three stops over the course of this game, if we can force a fumble, if we can get an interception, if we can block a field goal, or they miss a field goal where that counts as a stop, I think the team that gets a minimum of three stops in this game, they win the game.
No, definitely. Penalties and turnovers are going to be extremely important to possessions. You know, both of these teams thrive off getting multiple possessions, getting in the end zone versus kicking field goals. So not really a big important game for Zuerlein and butt kicker this game. It's going to be I don't know. I think I'd probably go for it on every fourth down. It's either touchdown or bust. Every possession, I mean, you know, you score, like 4 out of 8 touchdowns. It's almost better than 8 out of 8 field goals. I mean, it's when you run the numbers of how important it is to really score and get in the end zone when you have a chance. This is one of the games where out of 10 ball games, the Chiefs win 5, the Rams win 5. Mm-hmm. Whoever has the ball last.
Back up to this fourth down thing, man. So you're 4th and 7 on your own 30, and you're going for it?
I'm going for it.
And you're going to give them that field possession?
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
You got one of the best punters in the league, man.
Today he has a day off. I wouldn't even travel with him. Tell him to stay home.
Leave Dustin Cole.
I would have left.
Who's going to hold for Butker?
Oh, yeah. I ain't kicking no field goals. Don't need
that's a good point. Don't bring it. Well,
2 point.
Get 2 point conversion.
You don't like it, do it. You don't like this theory, do it.
No, I don't. I think field possession kind of helps every now and then.
Nah, you win. That position. This line of thinking is a little bit unique.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit unique. Yeah. A little bit extraterrestrial.
It's a tad bit different.
Yeah,
I mean, it's planted
Sean over there.
Yeah.
In the ball game. We'll talk about it during the game while we point out. Should have went for it there. Should have went for it on fourth down there. Could have been 7 points instead of 3.
Sean, I'm actually on your side here, and I'm not to the extreme you are. I think it's kind of tongue-in-cheek, but this is not the game to kick field goals. If you kick a field goal on 4th and 2 and you choose to take the 51-yard field goal from Harrison Butker over trying to go for it, that is a stop for the defense in my mind. I would come back for the sideline, even though we gave up points on that drive, as an overwhelming positive. I would say you need to have playoff-like aggressiveness when it comes to fourth downs in this one, because at a minimum 35 points is what you're going to have to score. You're not holding the Rams or the Chiefs to 27 points in this game. You're going to have to score at least 35, in my opinion, to win.
And who do you think who's the most which team is the most desperate to win today? Is it the Rams or the Chiefs? I'm thinking it's the Rams because – the Saints look like they on fire, like hair on fire, ain't planning on losing no more.
Yeah.
So if you want the number one seat in the NFC, you got to come out. You got to be chasing the Saints. Whereas, we got a little room. We got a little lag. We can just work on some things.
I mean, you actually changed the way I looked at it. I think it was last week when you brought this up, where you said like a season is basically a 16-round fight. You set yourself up 12-4, 13-3. You know, you're in pretty good shape for the playoffs. I'm with you. Like, for me, win or lose or draw, I don't care. I need to see something out of the defense to show me that come playoff time, they can get it done.
They're going to have to steal a possession or two this game. This game will be all about possessions and what you do with them. And if the defense is able to come away with at least one or two, it'd be great.
You are listening to the Monday Morning Linebacker brought to you by The Other Place. You guys remember the last time when you were in where we went to the Sean Stradamus crystal ball and we had the player props?
Yes.
We've got those back for this game. We've got player props.
That's what I'm talking about.
Coming up. It's The Drive.
Can't wait.
Let's give props with the guys from The Drive.
Back in on the drive, it is the Monday Morning Linebacker. It is brought to you by The Other Place. It is Sean Barber, who has an Alex Smith jersey on today. We'll talk about him coming up in just
what?
A minute.
Man, I wish Speck was here to see you wearing that Alex Smith jersey.
What's wrong with that?
Because he doesn't like Alex Smith. He calls him T. Smith, Trash Smith.
That's Trash Smith.
Isn't that a little bit much?
Yeah, that's
overboard.
I think it is, too, considering the guy's career is probably over. Right?
Yeah.
The other voice you hear is Joe Mays. It is the Monday Morning Linebacker. It is brought to you by The Other Place. So, on game day, Vegas, they release real player props. These are not something that Spectre just came up with. If you want to gamble, legally or illegally, you can actually place a little money on these player props. It is time to go inside the crystal ball, inside the mind of Sean Barber, a.k.a. Sean Stradamus.
Sean Stradamus.
Tyreek Hill, receiving yards, 88.5. Will he have more or less than 88.5?
I'm going to go with the over on Tyreek Hill, 88.5. I'm going with the over on that one.
I'm going over. You say receiving.
Yes, receiving yards. Just receiving yards. I am going to take the over
over.
Yeah. You got to take the over. I mean, Tyreek's a freak in primetime, right? I mean, it is, for whatever reason, Tyreek Hill, sun goes down, Tyreek turns into a freak.
Yeah. He get his yards anyway. I mean, yards after the catch is amazing. So, yeah, I'm taking over.
I want to read to you. This is after Aqib Talib's injury. These are the receivers that the Rams have gone up against and what they've done. Adam Thielen, 8 for 135. Diggs, 11 for 123. Tyler Lockett, 3 for 98. Emmanuel Sanders, 7 for 115. Devontae Adams, 5 for 133. And Michael Thomas, 12 for 211. I don't think there's any way that the Rams can stop Tyreek Hill in this game. They've given me no reason to think they can do that. No reason to think.
He's going
to
cook Marcus Peters.
This is a run to Vegas and bet the over on 88.5.
Is Tyreek Hill going to get shadowed by Marcus Peters?
I mean, if you're the Chiefs, I would hope so.
Yeah. No, if you're the Rams, hell no, I'm not putting Marcus Peters on him. Unless I'm giving him help over the top, absolutely not.
Okay.
There's no way.
Playing left and right corner, and we're playing zone defense.
Yeah, I mean, if the Rams put Marcus Peters on Tyreek Hill, I'll take my pants off and run around the neighborhood. I'm serious. Because that'd be the greatest thing that ever happened tonight, if Marcus Peters is guarding Tyreek Hill tonight.
All right.
I might get arrested.
I think you might see Marcus Peters go ahead and shadow 10 today. But
I hope so.
Who knows, right?
Sean Stradamus. Yeah, you know things.
You are.
I'm just saying. Be aware. Be alert for it.
Next up, we have Patrick Mahomes passing yards. 320 and a half. Do we think Mahomes throws for more or less than 320 yards?
I'll go with the over.
Why?
Oh, why?
Hey, you got to follow it up.
Oh, my bad.
Dude, you, I mean, you send us,
I thought
like,
this
these
was
texts.
Vegas.
You send these texts that are like you know, it's a chapter and a half.
Those
and
things so take you time.
You ask you a question about going over, and I get a one word out of you?
Those things take time. I thought you just wanted my gut reaction to these.
Well, I would like that, but then back
if I,
it
if
up.
If I got to bet money, I'm not, like, discussing with myself at the window. Wow, I'm just looking at it, and I'm like, you know what? Over. $100.
One-word answers don't really work great on radio.
No.
This is a hypothetical in Vegas.
Yeah. Oh, I'm serious.
It's just a way for us to package talking Chiefs and Rams and doing it differently. So instead of asking you, do you think Mahomes will have a good day, we use this as a tool to get you to talk. That's kind of the basis of the segment. Not just more. And, next. And yeah, Joe, you go next.
Yeah. And I thought we was talking to Sean Stradamus. Yeah. Sean. Yeah. And Sean Stradamus, he usually got –
I thought this was Vegas.
Like
no, yeah. It's not. It's Kansas City.
I mean, we are in a casino. So, you know.
I don't have S-Dot with me. I don't have my little
S-Dot. Oh, man. Yeah. I'm going under. And this is why. Hunt is going to be a key factor in this game, and they're going to try to run the ball as much as possible because we just talked about the Rams giving up 5.2 yards per carry on the season. What perfect person do you not have behind you than Hunt running the ball and getting those yards and being able to move the ball up and down the field? So I'm going to go under. Mahomes won't be able to throw for 300 plus yards, and it's okay because they're still going
to
get a win.
I mean, I'm picking the Chiefs to win this game, and if they win this game, he's going to have to throw for more than 320, in my opinion.
Let me go with Joe Stradamus on this one first to give you a little bit more time to prepare. Todd Gurley rushing yards, 97.5. Do we think Todd Gurley rushes for more than 98 yards today? Yeah,
you
Joe, I'm going to Joe first.
Look at me.
Hey,
you're not following me.
Because you're right in front of me.
Todd Gurley. I would definitely have to go over just because of, you know, how explosive of a back he is. He's big, he's strong, he's fast. He pretty much can do any and everything out there on the field. And the Chiefs, they have shown time and time again that they struggle with stopping the run. So I'm going with over for Todd Gurley.
Primetime game, primetime players make big-time plays and big games.
Yeah.
So I'm putting some big money on –
You seem flustered.
Marshall Faulk didn't win MVP for you to mess his quote up like that.
Hey, what did he say?
That was big time players and big time games. That's what he said.
Appreciate it.
Not whatever you just said.
Yeah, whatever I said. Just put your money on Todd Gurley going over. I'm going over on everything. Get rich. This is a get rich game.
Okay.
Go over on it. Parlay it if you want. Parlay some of these things together.
Can we send a shout-out to Les Miles again, once again? I mean, we got to send a shout-out because I –
Sean Miles, yeah. I'm going to start calling him.
Hey, look, I fumbled too, so it's okay. It's okay. It's just shout-out to my man. It's contagious. Yeah. I mean –
You know what I'm saying? Like the flu.
Yeah.
All right. You say that you're taking the over on everything.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce receptions, 6. Will he have 7 or more catches today?
100%. I'm going with the over. Big over, just big over day. I'm going with the over. Over, you can't stop everybody for the Chiefs. Marcus Peters, like I said, I think there's going to be a little personal vendetta, a little challenge for him to go try to go man up on 10. That leaves the safeties and linebackers vulnerable. I think that their linebackers have been vulnerable all year against everything. Their linebackers aren't really covered well. So I think we target Travis Kelce a lot in the passing game. He'll definitely have over 7 receptions on the ball game.
Yeah, I'm going over too. I mean, like Sean said, their linebackers and safeties have struggled. And, I mean, just knowing, you know, Coach Wade over there, he likes to run a lot of man principles. that may not change tonight. So they may be calling man a little bit more tonight, and it's going to be a chance for Travis Kelce to really get some yardage and some points on the board. So I say over.
Yeah, I got over too. I mean, I don't think they can. I mean, no team can really match up well against Travis Kelce, and the Rams have shown that they have issues with tight ends. So yeah, I'm taking the over on this.
I actually would take the under on this if Sammy Watkins was going to play, because I think Watkins would be a part of their offense. The fact that I don't think Sammy Watkins is going to play would lead me to take the over on this one. I think Hill and Kelce both have good days in the air. So I would take the over on Kelce with 6 receptions. I think he has 7 or more catches. I can see both him and Tyreek having really, really good days. And I'm not maybe as high on Kareem Hunt in this. Kareem Hunt on this game as maybe you two are.
Okay.
Last one. We have quarter. I was expecting somebody to
say
something.
You know what? So I'm looking at Sean, and Sean looked like he had something cooking over there.
He's deep in meditation today.
Yeah,
I know.
I thought Sean Stradamus was about to come hit you hard on that one. But you know what, man? Look, at the end of the day, with everything that we're talking about, we may not even know what we're talking about. We're just giving you our opinion.
I know
But
what
at
I'm
the end of the day,
about.
The Chiefs are going to win the game.
Sean said, speak for yourself when you say don't know what we're talking about.
We'll see when the game comes on.
Is that all the over-unders?
No, we have one more.
Oh, I can't really say.
Yeah,
We have quarterback sacks, 4.5. This is between both teams, not just one team.
It's over.
Over.
It's over.
He said it's over.
It's over. I thought, but we're not going to total point. That's one of the main ones was the total point.
I assume all of us think the over is going to hit.
Under.
You think the under's going to hit in this game?
That's the kicker of the whole thing, man. Over on yardage. Over. It's just no one's going to get into the end zone. Under on the points.
So you think that Mahomes is throwing for 400 yards in this game?
Yes.
Kareem Hunt's going to have 100 yards receiving. Tyreek Hill. But the Chiefs are going to score 24 points. That's what you think?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What's in the pink lemonade and the?
What's the over under? 63, right?
Yeah, it's something like that.
63.
So that was 60. I don't know what it is.
Is it 64?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
It is 64.5.
64.5. Yeah. The score will be 33-30, which makes 63 points, which means you get the under only by a point and a half, but it's going to be an under. Mark my words.
I guarantee you one team will score at least 35 points in this game.
Nope.
One team will score at least 35.
Ron, where my buzz at? Push the buzzer.
You don't have a buzzer.
Give me no buzzer.
All right, Les Barber. coming up on the other side, we'll get final game predictions, and Sean is wearing an Alex Smith jersey. We'll talk about the very unfortunate injury to the former Chiefs quarterback. Our last segment of the Monday Morning Linebacker brought to you by The Other Place. Coming up, it's The Drive.
Here comes the blitz to come clean. Alex Smith under heat. He's steamrolled at the 40-yard line, and Alex Smith is hurt. Alex Smith is hurt. He clutched his right knee as he went down, and he is hurt. He's hurt bad, man. Look at him. Oh. He's in a lot of pain. He's got his hands over his face. I think he realizes that this is a serious injury. It was the corner coming clean. And
oh, it's his ankle.
It's like his ankle. Looks like he could have a broken ankle.
No, he does have a broken ankle. It's a broken ankle.
Back in on The Drive coming up in just a bit. We'll get back into the matchup with Chiefs and Rams on Monday Night Football. I think this is the game that both offenses need to be hyper-aggressive when it comes to scoring touchdowns. We'll talk about that coming up at 4 o'clock. But, Sean, I'll start with you, the Monday Morning Linebacker, brought to you by The Other Place. You are wearing an Alex Smith jersey. What was your reaction to the very unfortunate injury that Alex Smith faced yesterday against the Houston Texans?
I mean, that was a tough game. It was two of my teams, my former teams, going against each other, the Redskins and the Texans. So I had it was alumni day for the Redskins. So a lot of former teammates were there in town, keeping me up on what was going on in the game. And then when that happened, man, it was quiet. Everything went quiet. It was like zero dark 60 on the text line. And everybody was a little bit flustered, man. Everybody was a little bit just somber about like seeing Alex go down that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, that injury is a career killer. That pretty much does it, I think, in as far as Alex Smith's concerned. I mean, the rehab from that won't have him back in time to start the season next year, and then beyond that, just where he is in his career right now, man. I just think he's had a great career. He should go ahead and just end it and right on to the sunset. Alex Smith's been a great pro, a great guy here for the Chiefs and now for the Redskins. And I can just say it's a great career.
Yeah, man, I definitely felt for him, you know, just seeing him on the ground. And when that helmet comes off, you know exactly what's going on. You know, being a player, when you get hurt and when you feel something dangling on your body, you know something is up, and you just take the helmet off and you just, all right, cool. I have to accept this even though I don't want to. But, you know, just seeing as a former player, as a guy that's been on the field, same field, and had a similar type of injury to his, you definitely feel for him, and you want him to come back as quickly as possible, but you know it's just not that simple. I mean, I have a broken fibula and a tibia.
You had that happen to you, Joe?
I had a broken fibula, and I tore some ligaments in my foot. So I had – it was a pretty serious injury, but that tibia, that the big bone down there, that's serious. I mean, and it's going to take a lot for that to heal and recover. So, you know, I'm hoping that he's able to come back if that's what he wants to do and come back and play. If not, he's had a hell of a career. I mean, you know, I've enjoyed watching him. I've enjoyed playing alongside with him, and you know, I hope for the best for him and his family.
I hate it. I hate seeing that stuff, man.
Yeah.
I hate it. I mean, because it's the first thing I think of. Like, that's career. That's ball game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I guess, you know, maybe today, the next day, or the next couple of days. I mean, Alex Smith, if we're gonna try to go glass half full on this thing, at least it's not his head. You know.
Right.
I mean, if that's the way you got to go out, it's better than it's, you know, a better lower body than it is upstairs. But I hated to see it too, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot more to life than this game we play. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, it is a game. We do get paid to play, but it is a game. We got to think about other things that's off the field, like our families and being able to walk around and run around with our kids. So, I mean, you know, I'm not mad at him if he decided to walk away. I mean, it'd be a perfect time too. If he decided to come back, then I'm rooting for him.
Have you guys ever been on the field when an injury like that happened to a teammate or an opposing player?
Not that severe. I mean, I've seen a lot of elbows pop out and that kind of thing, and you just kind of, you know, cringe because the guy's, you know, his arms are kind of inverted the wrong way. You see guys like the shoulder hanging down because the shoulder got displaced or a broken collarbone, those type things. Besides that, man, you just kind of, I mean, you say a prayer for him. You know, everybody knows, you know, it's football. You get out there and you wish that nobody gets hurt, but you're out there trying to inflict pain on each other. Sometimes, you know, things happen, so.
Yeah.
The finger injuries to me are the ones that gross me out on TV, too. I bet you guys see some fingers going wacky directions.
Man, I have a finger that goes in a wacky direction. And imagine, so this is me. I'm playing, and I hit an offensive lineman, and my finger goes out of place. During the play, while the ball is still in play, I'm trying to fix my finger and fight off an offensive lineman and make a play. So, yeah.
Which finger was it?
It's my left ring finger, which just so happened I normally have a ring on, but yeah. Since the finger is so bad, I had to get my ring tattooed because I can't fit a ring over this finger anymore.
Was it going left or was it backwards? Or
it's going way to the left.
Oh man,
yeah, way to the left.
And you're
so,
trying to fight a dude off and get your finger back.
Yeah,
so you can make a play?
I mean, because it doesn't hurt; it just feels uncomfortable. I know that my finger shouldn't be in this position,
so.
I could finish the play. I could finish the play and then pop it right back in. It's just. Just so happened, it's so uncomfortable. I'm trying to pop it in during the play. I mean, you know, that's just a little couple war stories that we got to go through as football players.
What's so crazy about football and maybe the physical pain that you guys have to endure? It's not an if at some point you get hurt playing football. It is a win, and it will probably happen multiple times. Like, there is nobody that's played football for as long as you guys played that didn't have a significant injury. Mm-hmm. And you guys all seem to know that's going to happen at some point and seem fine with that's going to happen. So, like, I can't imagine – doing this job that I have right now. You tell me over the next 15 years I will have 3 or 4 significant injuries. Man, I'll find something else to do in my life. This is fun. I don't like it that much.
Nah, man, I love football, man. You find something you're in love with, man. You compete, and then you don't want nobody to take it away. So, you know, in a way, you're looking at that guy across the line and say, man, you're trying to take away what I enjoy doing. You know, like the football was the love of my life for a while. So you'd be like, man, this is what I love doing, and you're trying to prevent me from doing it. So I got an issue with that guy across the ball, and I got a job to do. So I go do my job, and if you're in my way, I get you out of my way.
Like, I get my chops busted at home for playing old man baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, my knee hurts. You know, we have a deal. If I complain about my knee, she gets to dump cold water on me in the shower. Like, that's the deal. So I stop complaining about it. What are the conversations like between you guys and your wives and you're playing and you're coming home and you're beat up and you got dislocated fingers and dislocated elbows? And what's that conversation going to be like between Alex and his wife?
Well, the conversation was, oh, yeah, it's trash in there.
Yeah, it's trash day. Take it out.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. Nothing's – it's no different. I mean, you know, that's work.
They don't get you to try to stop?
Nah, man. I mean, because they – you know, my wife, she understands my passion and my love for it and what it's done for me.
Yeah.
Not just as a football player, but as a man. So she understands that and she appreciates.
Plus, it pays okay.
And plus, it pays pretty damn well. So, yeah. But she appreciates that. But you know, besides that, yeah, we know what we signed up for. So an injury, oh, you can rub some dirt on that, but it's garbage in the kitchen that you got to take out.
Yeah, you got to do your duties no matter what.
Yeah.
You do. Like,
yeah.
Like, just because you play football don't mean you got a
torn hammy. You're still on pooper patrol out in the backyard.
Oh, huh? Yeah.
All right.
I mean, basically.
We got 2 minutes left. It's the Monday Morning Linebacker brought to you by The Other Place. Joe, we'll start with you. Game prediction, score, who wins, why?
Well, I'm going with the Chiefs winning. And I'm going to go with and why? I mean, the Chiefs, they're playing lights-out football. I mean, the Rams, they are as well. But, I mean, it's just something about Mahomes playing quarterback for the Chiefs. I mean, that guy has been amazing, you know, so far this year. He's been able to, you know, take the team places that it's never been before. And it's been on his shoulder, it's been on his arm. But not only that, it's been on the tutelage of Andy Reid as well. So I'm taking the Chiefs, and I'm, you know what? I'm going to go 35-31. It's going to be a pretty close game.
All right, barbershop's up. Going a lot of points. Wrong. A lot of yardage be gained. Field goal kickers, for some reason, going to be used. I'm against it, but unfortunately.
You guys probably hate kickers, don't you?
Coaches got to do what they got to do. So they're gonna send those field goal kickers out to put field goals on the board and instead of getting touchdowns. So I see a weird score going into halftime, kind of like a 15-9, a 16-9 type ball game going into halftime. Second half, offense is opening up a little bit. 30-30 going into the last drive of the game. And whoever has the ball last kicks the field goal to win it 33-30. And that team, unfortunately, will be the Rams.
I can't remember you ever picking against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Man.
I'm a little surprised, Sean Stradamus.
So Chiefs are going down.
Actually, in my breakdown, I went 33-30 Chiefs. But now that I think about it, and I'm thinking about all that's going out, and when it comes down to it, you know what it's about? I think that the Rams need to win more than the Chiefs absolutely need to win. And I think in that last drive or the last bit of the game, it's the team that needs it the most that will get it and force keep us out of overtime. 33-30.
And the Rams are at home too, right?
Yeah. So real quick, because we don't have much time here. Does the fact that the Chiefs don't have to win this game impact whether they play Sammy tonight, you think?
I mean, it would impact. To me, I mean, I think Sammy would want to play against his old team, right? Yeah. Like, you would desire to, but going into a bye week, having another chance in the week of rest and be almost fully healthy for the home stretch, I think you got to, like, save him from himself and say, hey, man, just – we'll take care of it without you, and we'll go in there and we'll try to win it without you.
You got to look at the big picture of it all. You want him healthy for the rest of the season, not just for tonight. So if I was them, I wouldn't suit him up. There's no need to. We got weapons all across the board.
That is the Monday Morning Linebacker. The voice you just heard was Joe Mays. The other voice is Sean Barber. The Monday Morning Linebacker is brought to you by The Other Place. Sean Barber also with Arrowhead Pride. This was fun, guys.
Hey, man.
Love it, man.
I enjoyed it, man. I told you I missed last week, man. So, you know, I enjoyed being here with you guys and talking ball.
Well, get your mind right. Monday Night Football. Monday night.
Well, if we don't see you guys, have a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, have a good
day. Oh, man. Appreciate it, man. Yeah,
always enjoy our conversation. Even though you tell me every single time we talk about football that I don't ever watch football, I still appreciate it.
Happy turkey day. I don't eat no main course, though. I only eat sides. All sides.
You don't eat turkey?
I don't want no main course. All sides.
This is the most disappointed I've ever been in a guest.
Hot take.
I don't eat meat, so we don't have turkey or none of that.
All right.
How to get to the pros.
Don't eat meat.
Leave the turkey and meat alone.
Don't eat.
So that was Sean Barber and Joe Mays. Thanks to them, the Monday Morning Linebacker. Coming up in 2 minutes, I think this is the game that both offenses need to be hyper-aggressive. We'll talk about it coming up. It's The Drive.